We're just vessels. But when you mix a spark with oil, you create a contained fire. And he wanted it to burst out of you. Jeremiah, I believe, was the one that said, it feels like a fire that is shut up in my bones. Let's go on. I'm trying to be mindful of the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be what? Revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Be careful to boast about your Christianity and your efforts if you're not walking in the fire. Be careful to criticize your preacher if you're not praying for him. All right? Be careful to critique the songs unless you're helping to praise and worship with your worship leaders. Be careful to hate on people. He said when you would have even a toothpick of a problem with somebody, that you can look over an entire log in yours. And this is what I found to be true. I don't know if you've identified with this or not. I found that the kind of people that have judgments to make on others are the ones with the real problems. Anybody else identify with that? I find the people that are pointing the fingers got three or four of them pointing back at them. Right? The only issue God wanted us to take with anyone was Satan. When you're fighting with people, you're not fighting with flesh and blood. Powers, spiritual things, spiritual warfare. So when you let people aggravate you, you've already missed it. He wanted you to be able to look over it, to forgive them and pray about what made you mad. If we come in a lot lighter from just simply alone what people has done to us to bother us, listen, we would have had twice the church that we would have had tonight. My brother, we don't have that many. Listen, he said only two or three would come. We've got many multiples of that, but don't make me do the math. We've got more than that in here to do his will. Let's go on. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let me read this to you because it's important. God not only wants you to outwardly declare your salvation and freedom of sin by the water. He not only wants you to do the outward declaration by water, but get this. He wants you to declare inwardly to yourself and to Satan that you are free, and with that power, you can rebuke his attempts to destroy you. Let me say, number one, that first and foremost, if you were going to choose a baptism by water or by fire, I'd highly recommend you get the water first. I'd highly recommend you confess of your sins and accept Jesus as Lord of your life. Because seeking for the fire without the outward declaration that you're a changed person, you're not going to get very far. There are a lot of people that speak in tongues that have no spirit in it. There are a lot of people that worship that have no idea about what God really wants to be for them. It's just a show. It's just entertainment. It's just another social gathering. It's just something to do. So I wanted to clarify that, number one. The water's important. You're declaring to the world that you're different. But let me tell you, the fire is also important, because the fire burns the things in you. You can use the fire to cleanse your own life. This process was called sanctification, or the purification of the soul. If we're not sanctified, we're definitely not glorifying God. In fact, we make a mess of what God wants to do. Listen, when you do it your way, you're trying to clean a wall with a filthy rag. He said you'd have to be without spot or blemish to cause people to be free from sin. So when we do it our way, we're just filthy rags trying to clean the mess. And you're not going to clean dirt with dirt. The scripture said if you try to do it by your own way, it's like the blind leading the blind. So when you're serving God, he wants to reveal how you are sanctified by how you obey him. He said the meek would inherit the earth. He didn't say the haughty. He didn't say the cocky. He said the meek. Those that would be willing to let this burn inside of them. I decrease, that he would increase. Less of us means more room for the fire. Let's go on. Acts chapter 2, verse 3. And there appeared unto them, say the word, appeared. Appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. In my rookie years as preaching, I used to misinterpret by thinking that they spoke because they had cloven tongues of fire. But when I read that, it says it appeared to them as cloven tongues of fire, and that then it came and sat upon them. So they beheld something God revealed, and then it came and consumed their life. Listen, the power of life and death is what? In your tongue. So why did God have to send the fire? Because if we didn't have that fire to girdle our tongue, we'd be the worst talking people on earth. Even in good shape, the prophet said at times, I'm all alone. There's an entire book of the Bible that's referring to laments, lamentations, sadness, bitterness, human nature. But you see, when his fire has consumed us, it's going to change how you talk to God. It's going to change how you pray to him. Listen, there's no sweeter prayer than the prayer of salvation, but when you get the fire in your mouth, you begin to pray with boldness. You begin to pray with power. You begin to declare those things that are not as though they are. I'm tired of us taking a back seat to the devil. I'm ready for us to start declaring those things that are not as though they are. Why? Because he already put the power of fire in our speech so that when we pray, we can say, Satan, I refuse for you to continue and mess with my children. I draw the line about them and declare that they will be saved, that they will be delivered. When you're talking like that, there's going to be fire coming out of your mouth. You might not even think you have it, but when you begin to tell the devil where his place is, you're telling him you got to back off. So it appeared to them they were consumed by it. It sat upon them. I don't ever recall it leaving. Did you? Oh, brother, that ended with the apostles. What you talking about? I don't need that. I got no need for it. I am good. Hang on, I got to get dignified. I am good to go. I don't need that. If you don't have any fire, let me tell you, your prayer life will dry up. It'll be like a desert. If you don't have the fire to help you to have a desire to pray more, you're going to let the devil roll all over you, steamroll your situation, and you won't have any power or authority because you will not simply utter the words. Listen, God is more than able to do it, and he wants you to have a burning desire to say, I believe I can, and I believe, God, you can, and I'm trusting in you that you're going to do it. You don't have to sit here and say there's not enough people in here. You begin to say with the fire inside of you, I'm believing that more are on the way. Amen. Otherwise, we're going to see it get down to nothing. And God would not have his house to be put to shame. He would have his sanctuary to be glorified. The Holy of Holies, as Brother Matt was telling us in the last service, once the fire burned, it was nothing but smoke. I know this is going to sound funny, but when you're walking around, do you want people to think you stink? No. I'm kind of weird about that. I was sitting at home after I had labored all day. I forget what I had done, but anyway, I'd wore some shoes. I'd been on my feet all day, and I took those things off. It would have put down a grown man. My wife politely identified to me that my feet were not so scrumptious, didn't smell like roses, and it bothered me so bad. This is a true story. I went straight to the tub, filled the tub up, and just put my feet in it and washed them, all right? That's how silly we can get, right? But anyway, unless we have the fire on us, when the fire lifts, we need to have the smell of smoke. You know what that means? after the fire burns, after you get filled up at church, when you go out to the world, they should be able to tell you're different. I'm going to say this. Some of you are probably going to get all over it later. But he wants to be able to tell that you're different by what you're wearing. Yeah, I said it. By what you're wearing, by what you're saying, by where you're going, and what you're doing. You need to show the world you're different in every element of your life. You can't pick and choose and say, I'm going to give God all of this, but I'm going to wear what I want to wear. Listen, if I had made that decision, I'd be the silliest looking fool in here. Because I used to wear all black and 18 inches of hair and had a dog chain on my hip, and I didn't really care for you very much. I'll show you a picture if you can handle it sometime. People wouldn't have very much respect for me if I stood in the likeness of what I was once. You've got to show the world you're different. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know our toes are getting hurt right now. I'm feeling it too, sister. Sometimes I just want to go to the grocery store and throw on whatever's comfortable and go on. But the Holy Spirit has quickened me before and showed me to be modest wherever I go, so that when people find me, they don't see me as I maybe used to be. So I do tuck the shirt in. I do not go out looking like a slob. And I do show the world that I care about what I look like and I care about what people see in me. But brother, it's what's in the heart. People can't get to the heart if you look like a fool. All right? You have got to show people that you're different by giving God glory by what you wear. And no, we're not getting into this only long hair, no jewelry business. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about what you're showing the world. Let me put it to you like this. If you walk into a room full of sin and they can't tell you apart from somebody else, there's a problem. If you walk into a room and you're having a conversation just like everybody else and they can't tell you apart, there's a problem. If you sit in some kind of entertainment or listen to something that should appall you and you just sit right through it, that's a problem. I'm going to go here and I'm going to leave it alone. If we talk about other people at church and then in the same breath still try to give God glory, there's a problem. And I'm not directing that at any one person. But you better think about it. I'm going to go on and leave that one alone. Hear a pin drop in here now. Two more scriptures and I'm going to close. I thank you for your patience. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We should stop being afraid of the fire and start rejoicing in it. You know why? Because the fire's not here to consume you. It's here to protect you. We don't need to look at the fire like the king and the soldiers did that day when the Hebrew boys were thrown inside of the furnace. We need to look at the fire like the Hebrew boys did when they said, "We will not bow to you, King," and believed in God. That's the biggest difference. That's how you can rejoice. That's the mystery revealed tonight. That's how you are happy in the middle of going through something, because you know that if you got up the next day and you weren't alive, you'd have heaven to be your home. If you lost everything that you ever had, that God would not have his seed to beg for bread. If Jesus told his very elect to not worry about what you carry, not about what you're wearing, not about what you're eating, then he was trying to get them to see that when you're faced with persecution, trust in him and rejoice, because you're going to be, as we sang tonight, all right. Let's read one more. Revelation chapter 20. Well, before that, let me read this to you. God wanted us to rejoice because we had the assurance that if we are put in the fire in his name, then we will not burn. How many of you know the scripture, not one hair on your head will be singed? When they came out of that fire, the Hebrew boys didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. So that's what I'm trying to get across tonight. We need to embrace the fire because it's what will take care of you. We don't need to come in and dread serving God because it should be a pleasure. Our desire should be to long to be at peace and not in distress. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Felt like this was the most important point to make tonight. Without having Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will fall victim to the consuming fire. We get bored sometimes when we come, I know that. We get tired and weary of doing the same thing, coming to the same services, same building, same carpet, same walls. I understand that. But if we're not coming in with an urgency to keep people safe from hell, then we have forgotten the reason we were saved at all. You were redeemed so that out of what you do, others be redeemed. If that were not the case, Paul would have never had a ministry. Peter would have never got a second chance after he flat out denied him while standing nearby to warm the fire. There are people out there, and I'm just going to say it just for the sake of reminding, that if we are called home right now, our loved ones, some of them, will not be ready. You want to know something even more scary? There are people that go to church on a regular basis. One day the scripture says they're going to say, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's a scary thing. And we need to be reminded. If we need purpose, if we need something to keep our fire alive on a regular basis, on a Friday, Sunday basis, we need to remember that we're not here for us. We're here for those that do not know Christ. That we're not here just to go through the motions and tradition. We're here to show them something, to open their eyes to see that they need to be saved. And for those that are saved, that are struggling, we need to help them open their eyes that they need the fire in their life to be bolder, stronger, and more powerful individuals. I'm going to close on that note. I love you all dearly. I appreciate all the times that you sit with me and dive into the Word of God together. You mean the world to me, and I bless you tonight for your efforts in trying to receive the Word of God through this old mumbling guy. I appreciate you, and I love you, and I pray for you, and be reminded that God is in control. And let's pray that prayer when we get out of here for this weekend. Let's pray that prayer like Elisha did for his servant, but for ourselves, and say, God, help me to open my eyes to see just how close your fire is around me. Help me to see, God, just how much I am protected. Help me to see it, Lord.